God's grace, we're all here this morning because it seems as if bugs are knocking people out left and right. And, you know, Pastor Mike's been on the couch for the last couple days but was able to come here, and this isn't going to work. And so go ahead and give me this. I'm not going to go through this. So, and we have bugs in the equipment and bugs. Yes. So, would you stand? And open your Bibles to Luke chapter 11 as we again look at what we have called the Lord's Prayer. You know, after reading this, I would argue that it's the Apostles' Prayer. It was given to the Apostles, and I believe it's the Church's Prayer. But we certainly have been blessed by taking a look at this model for prayer that Jesus has given us. And we're going to conclude this morning the P's of prayer and this proper perspective of prayer that Jesus gives us. So we're going to read verses 1 through 13 again. We're going to read the prayer together as a congregation. When we come to that, I'll stop and prompt. But it says, "And it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray, say,'" and let's say this together, "'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.' And he said to them, 'Which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, Do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, now know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Heavenly Father, we lift up your word this morning, and we thank you, Lord, that you have given us this beautiful love letter, Lord, and this book of instruction. I pray that you would open our hearts and minds to receive all that you have for us this morning, Lord. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, that you would fill our hearts and our minds, Lord, that distractions will be gone. I pray, Lord, for those who may be here and not feeling well, I pray that you would touch them, that you would strengthen their bodies, Lord, that that you would even hold back need to cough for me, Lord, as I speak on your behalf. Lord, we just give you this time and ask that you would speak to us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church this morning. And if there's anybody here, Lord, who is not your child but needs to know you, I pray that you would whisper, Lord, by your Holy Spirit to their hearts specifically. Lord, what a privilege and what a program you have set before us, Lord. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Please be seated. You know, it's interesting as you look at our society today and you watch governments and so much of the struggles going on in our governments today are trying to, you know, some are trying to develop weapons of mass destruction. Others were trying to reduce or take away the ability to give weapons of mass destruction, and so much of our energy and our and societal focus is on these things, the arms race, you know. And we can get caught up in that, but the beautiful thing is God was first in everything. Do you realize that God is first in everything? He has given us not only armor, we're told in Ephesians that we're to put on the full armor of God, but we not only have armor, but he has given us weaponry. And we know that our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, they're not of the flesh. They're spiritual, and he's given us his word, the sword of God, the sharp two-edged sword, and he's given us prayer. And we have the greatest weapons known to mankind. You know, I call the word of God the, not WMD, but the WMI. It's a weapon of mass instruction. It's not a weapon of mass destruction, which the world is looking for. But the world needs the word of God, the weapon of mass instruction. We look at politicians and governments that are trying to come up with their policies that can bring peace to the world. Yet God preempted all of those things. His plan from the very beginning went to the cross and focused to the cross, where the peace of God was offered at Calvary for the whole world. Greater than any peace that could be found in society that could be legislated from any government seat or any throne. His peace is perfect peace. Now, we've been looking at Jesus' model for prayer. We've been, the P's of prayer, we've been going through it week by week. This is part six. It will be the conclusion. And he has left us this model for prayer. And we've talked about it often. You know, Jesus told us that when you pray, go into a closet. And it's not the prayer closet. You hear some of these crazy guys on the radio that they're trying to sell you the exact dimensions that God gave them by divine command. And how, you know, no, it's really out there. And people fall for this stuff. It's not that kind of closet. It's go to a quiet place. We all need to find some solace, some rest, some quiet where we can spend time praying with God. And he says, go and find a quiet place. And when you pray, say these things. Now, we have really kind of relegated the words to tradition, something that we recite by rote, but often don't consider the heart of Jesus and what he's telling us about God, our Father in heaven. And so we've been breaking this down because it is a model for prayer. It is not something that we are just to specifically recite without any thought and without, you know, thought that gets down to the heart and really understand the heart of our Father. And so we've been going through first and looked at God's person and position. We are the children of our Father in heaven. He is holy, and our prayer. Listen, I was thinking about writing this down and putting it in an outline, but I don't even want to do that. As we've been going through this and as we've been studying through it, I'm hoping that the Lord starts speaking to your heart and you start breaking it down and seeing how important it is to follow this model. And what an awesome idea, if we don't do it already, what an awesome idea to go to our Father in praise and just lift him up and glorify him for all that he has done, all that he is, all that he has provided. As I was going through this morning, you know, the other thing about our society, and kind of this is an aside, and as we're going through it, you know, God is holy. He has a great purpose and a plan. That's the second part. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Prayer is a time to submit our will to God's will, our plans to God's plan and purpose. Not my will, but your will be done. And it's so interesting that the technological race, you know, we've got political races, we've got regime, you know, we've got all kinds of things going on that the world is racing for and trying to come up with. The technology race is all centered on apps and devices that can bring you those, you know, everything that you need through apps. Listen, God's got an app. And that's what I titled the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, and this looking at the proper perspective of prayer. God has an app. Have you ever considered that? Man, the world is trying to come up with an app for everything. Listen, God, from the beginning of time, from before the world even began, He had an app, and it blows all of them away. It blows them all away. And so we go through and we consider God's kingdom come, your will be done. God's provision, when we pray, we recognize how God has met our needs. Give us day by day our daily bread. And we also petition God to continue to meet those needs. He knows what we need and what we want, and He will provide for His children as a good father does. And so as we pray, we lift Him up in praise. And we recognize, look, we have plans, Lord, but not our will, your will be done. I will make my plans. You guide my steps. And we talked about this, giving the day over to the Lord. And so we praise Him. We consider His purpose and His plan for our lives. We recognize God's provision for all of our needs today, and we know He's going to provide for tomorrow. And we spend that time really taking inventory of all that He has given us and done for us. And as we do that, it's really kind of a faith builder, isn't it? Knowing that it's going to be taken care of tomorrow, and we start to stand on His promises. Fourthly, we look at God's pardon. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. So important that we spend some time in honesty before God concerning our shortcomings. Prayer of confession and repentance is taking a personal inventory. Scripture, throughout Scripture, we're told to be vigilant, to be sober, to be ready. We don't know the time that He's going to return. We're to be working out our own faith with much fear and trembling. We need that time because, Lord, where am I falling short? My life, I want my life to please You. And so what areas of my life aren't pleasing You? And spending that time before the Lord and being honest with the Lord. And then lastly, last week we looked, at God's protection. You see, our Father allows us to come to Him not only on behalf of ourselves, but on behalf of others, to intercede when trials and temptations arise. Our Father is a very present help in time of need. And that's awesome, because guess what? We've been told we're going to have trials. There are going to be various tests that go on in our lives. Life is a temptation. The world is trying to entice us with the things that it has, and there's a constant struggle. Listen, God is with you in the trial, Christian, and we can ask for His comforting hand to lead us out of the trial and to guide us in a way to escape from temptations. He's promised us not to put us in a situation that's too much for us to handle. And so we pray for that when we go to Him. Lord, today, you know, if there's temptation going on or if you're in the middle of a trial, you can go to Him on that. And we talked about God doesn't tempt, you know, He doesn't tempt, He tests, the enemy tempts, and God provides a way out of those situations. He will always provide a way out of temptation. And if you're looking to grow in your prayer life, if your desire is to have a proper perspective for prayer, Jesus gives us the key. Get into your closet, find a quiet place, praise Him. Acknowledge His purpose and plan. Recognize that He's going to meet today's needs. Repent. Confess of those shortcomings. Lay them before the Lord. Here's the beautiful thing. He's faithful and just to forgive. And then we can seek His protection for the day. And He will protect us throughout the day. And this morning, we're going to look at the final two P's of prayer. That is persistence and promise. In verse 5, and He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. Now, Jesus taught in parables, and it was always in a way that they would understand. This was very common in their society. This may not resonate with us today. Somebody showing up unannounced at our door, and maybe some of you have had that happen, and, you know, probably interested to look and see how we would react to that. But people just showing up at our door unannounced. It was not uncommon in Jewish society for visitors to show up at the door. You see, hospitality to strangers was, and even friends and strangers, was a basic law in that Mideast society, in Jewish society at that time. It was an expectation. And because it was often hot in the day, a lot of travel was done at night after sun went down. And so there was always a chance that you could get a visitor in the middle of the night. Something that we would probably not put on somebody that we know in today's age, because we want to be, what's the word, respectful, and, you know. But it wasn't even a second thought in society at that time. And certainly today there's all kinds of dangers that come with that. But what Jesus is giving is an example, not of a comparison, but of a contrast. And he starts it out by giving them an example that they would understand. If a traveler came to you at night and you did not have the basic needs for hospitality, what would you do? And what he's saying is, this is what is common here. This is what you would do. You're going to ask a neighbor or a friend. You're going to go to that neighbor and ask for help. You see, failure to entertain a guest reflected not just on the individual family, it reflected on the whole village. And that was true not only for the neighbor requesting help, but for the friend that he went to ask help from as well. They had to consider how it would look upon them and their village if the needs of a visitor or a friend was not met. You see, persistence pays off. And in essence, the hospitality shown to the traveler kept the good reputation of the village. It was imperative that the needs were provided for. Persistence in this is anaidia. It's anaidia, and it means importunity. I keep doing that. And it happens to be a P message, so all the P's are going to do that. Sorry. Literally, it means shamelessness or avoidance of shame. And both of them are true in our text this morning. Because of one's persistence, the desire to avoid shame, he will keep knocking until the need is met, is what Jesus is saying. And so he gives us this example that because of persistence, the need is going to be met. Even if you said no, and people probably looking, well, that's weird, what's he doing? You understand, it's a one room. Most of these homes were one room, raised platform. The raised platform area is where the whole family would lay down together to go to sleep. And so, you know what the guy's saying? I've climbed over all my kids, my family, they're all asleep just to get you this food. Listen, because of persistence, he's going to do it. Not only so to provide for the need and to be hospitable, but to save the reputation of that place. And so Jesus says, verse 9, it's because of one's persistence, the desire to avoid shame, that he's going to keep knocking. And I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. The tense of the verbs in this scripture we have before us is ask, seek, of ask, seek, and knock are extremely important to understand. What it's saying is keep asking, keep seeking, and keep knocking. In other words, prayer is to be more than the occasional 911 call to God. You know what I'm talking about, because we all tend to put prayer in that, hey man, when I need it, man, I can go to the Lord. He told me I could do that, man. When it's an emergency, I'm going to God. But God desires it to be much, much more than that. It is to be an ongoing communication with our Heavenly Father. That is the model and the proper perspective in what Jesus is telling us. The reason the apostles asked Jesus, teach us to pray, was what? Because they always saw Jesus praying. And they wanted to understand what was going on. That's the example to us. It is an open and constant communication with the Lord, who, by the way, Scripture tells us is always available. Always available. You know, I was thinking about this, and I probably shared this once before. I remember last Christmas, and we hosted Christmas at our house, and my nieces, you know, they have two hands, and there's this thing that seems like it is a part of one of their appendages when they come over. And do any of you have relatives like this or young people? And this is what's going on. You know what I'm talking about, right? I finally had, and I'd had enough. Every couple of minutes, their fingers were going wild. And then their hands would go down and it wouldn't be seen. It was constant. They have this lifeline to their friends called a cell phone on which life itself exists to them. And they don't even know it, but they are lost without it, sadly. To communicate with their friends. Last Christmas, I had to lay down the law. I said, you're here to talk to your relatives, your aunts and your uncles, and grandma and grandpa, put the cell phones away. I don't want to see it. If I catch you with it, I'm throwing it out in the snow. And at the time, there was like about 11 or 12 inches of snow in the backyard. I said, I'm throwing it out in the snow. I don't care. It was not met with happy faces. But if I had not done that, we would have not had any time. We would have been just kind of a forethought and an afterthought. My goodness, they can't live without that constant communication with what's going on with their friends. Imagine communicating with your Father in heaven the way you communicate with others. By texting. By tweeting. By Facebooking. Any of you spend a lot of time on Facebook? Stop and think for a minute. Your Father in heaven has made himself infinitely available through a far superior application than texting, than tweeting, and then Facebooking. Have you considered that for a moment? A far better application that he came up with before the world was even created, before we were even a thought, he had this application. He invites us, listen, into his office. Consider this, if we're talking about a father, you know, because offices are usually, that's off limits for the most part. He invites us into his office, the throne room, through this heavenly app called prayer. No errors, no unavailable servers. You got your iPad? Waiting for a server connection. Server connection has been lost. You know, server is down. We are doing a server update. You know, you need to download this new program. It goes on and on and on. But we're starved for apps. We need apps for everything. And there's a race for all the apps on all of these electronic gizmos, and they're coming up with the next best gizmo and everything else. We see it. It's constantly happening before us. And God is sitting there saying, look, I've provided something far superior, and it's hardly ever used. Rarely downloaded. Rarely downloaded. There are no errors, no unavailable servers. We don't need to find cell towers, and we don't need Wi-Fi access. Running around looking for Wi-Fi access. Constant open access through his heavenly app. God has an app, Christian. The best app ever created. How cool is that? I wonder if our Father is in the office right now, his throne room, that he invites us to enter whenever we want. It says we can now come boldly to the throne of grace. And it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Because of that, we can come boldly into his office. We can just throw the door open and not worry about whether we're interrupting some very important business. Because guess what? You and I are the important business. He's just hanging out there in his office waiting for us to come and bring our business to him. He invites us to enter, and he is there wondering why we don't spend as much time on his app as we do on other apps of communication available to us. Listen, check out his app. It's based on sonship and daughtership, not on friendship. Most of the time, we're friendship, right? We're communicating with our friends, loved ones, and stuff, family members. But for his app, you don't click on friend like an app the world is beholden to. What a sad commentary. You're thinking about this. What a sad commentary on the church today when we hear how brothers and sisters in Christ are unfriending brothers and sisters. You ever heard of that? I hear it all the time. So-and-so was mad, went away, and they unfriended me. What? How sad. God does not invite you to friend him. There is one link, and that is Abba Father. You just click on Abba Father, and you're good to go forever. And your father, he does not unfather. Do you realize that? He's not going to unfather you if you mess up. That's a beautiful thing. He is not going to orphan his children. He has not left us an orphan, left us orphans. His app is open, uninterrupted communication with him. He calls it communion, and the app is prayer. You got that? He has the greatest app on earth that he's given to us. It's called prayer, open communication with our Father in heaven, who will supply all of our needs beyond what we even deem necessary or understand. The server God has is amazing. Consider this. Think about it. It has limitless redundancy. It never crashes. Jesus called him the helper, and it's his Holy Spirit. That's the server, and he lives in us. And that's the, open communication. It can handle all the asking, all the seeking, all the knocking that's sent its way. He hears it all. And the sad thing is we probably do not test its capability nearly enough. Nearly enough. But his server never fails. In essence, Jesus is challenging God's children to try and crash the Father's server. And if we storm the gate and the throne room like that, imagine what God would be able to do with that heart to keep asking, to keep seeking, to keep knocking, because that is, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but that's what has been put before us. To put the app to the test. Jesus did it constantly when he was tired. At the end of the day, when he needed strength, when he needed guidance, he would go to his heavenly Father. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. Listen, the search engine is infinite. Infinite. And it's always right on. And the search engine, check this out, is built on a platform, and it's called promise. And that's the last P that we're looking at. It's built upon God's promises. Whatever you're looking for, it's going to take you to God's promises. And it says, if a son, verse 11, asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? And Jesus is being real facetious, I guess, or you know, this is ridiculous. Of course not. He's just, this is an absolutely not. What do we think God is going to do when we go to him with a request? If he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Here is the contrast. In Jesus' example, the person looking to provide for his guest will be shameless, that is, persistent. Impudent is to the it's to the point of impudence to ask for what he needs from the neighbor in order to avoid shaming his family and the society. The friend will respond in like manner by getting up and fulfilling the request. Don't you know your heavenly Father will answer your prayer? Don't you know that? It's a promise. With emphasis, it's a P word, and it keeps going. He does not answer prayer just to meet his children's needs, Christian. He answers prayer in such a way and for the sole reason of glorifying his own name. That's how he answers prayer. Do you understand that promise? That's amazing. The result of the app and going through the app is going to glorify God's name. Don't you think he's going to do what's best for you in every occasion? Do you believe God answers prayer? Isaiah 65:24 tells us, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer." Listen, this is the heart of God. Seek, knock, just keep constantly coming to, you know, to the throne room of grace as often and as, you know, as you can and want to. But this is the heart of God. It's not that we have to be persistent as if God doesn't want to do it for us. He already wants to do it for us. Sometimes he just wants to see, are we just kind of throwing the prayer out there? Hey, you know, I'll throw, yeah, I know I'm supposed to, hey, can you, you know, help that guy out, Lord? And then on to, you know, do we mean it? Is it something that we desire and our heart's desire? God wants to give us our heart's desire. But he says, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. He already knows. He already knows. The app is open. And he's reading our hearts and our minds. Could it be you have not opened the app because you are unsure of the promises of God this morning? Or could it be maybe you don't like the answer? God tells me no, and I don't like it. You ever thought that? God told me no. I thought this would be the greatest thing on earth. Man, I should have this. And God told me now. Not now, and he answers three ways. Yes, not now, or no. Not now is hard enough, right? To wait in the society that we live in, which has instant gratification of everything. You can go online and order your car and have it waiting for you when you get there and everything. You know, you don't want to hassle with Black Friday and go into the store. You can order it online and the convenience of everything's convenient. Everything's instant. And when God says, not now, not so good. It's kind of messing my program up. But no. Sometimes I think we react, man, Hannah, I love my daughter. But you tell her no. It's just the opportunity to wear you down. Anybody want to guess what her response to no is? Why? And you try and answer that, and she doesn't like it, and she says, why? Until you say, just don't ask why again. The answer is no, and that's it. But I think sometimes we go to the Lord with that attitude instead of saying, okay, if it's no, then there's a good reason. Because he will give only good gifts. And he knows what's best for us. How much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will he give good gifts to his children? Listen, no is a good gift. that he gives to his children, sometimes wrapped up with a bow. And, you know, it's his no is not a lump of coal in the stocking. You know, we got Christmas coming up. What we need, what we don't need, he already knows. Christian, God's app is perfect. His app is perfect. It's powerful. You see, his prayer program is flawless. Now, the problems we might find with prayer are not on his end at all. Do you understand that? Here's the interesting thing. There are certain platform requirements that are necessary in the hardware and the software that the app is designed to run in. And that's where we run into some problems. Because there's got to be hardware and software with everything, right? In our society, that's everything runs on it. I have no clue. Does anybody even understand how you push a button and the thing says loading, and all of a sudden it has all this information on this thing that's sitting right in front of you that just kind of came out of nowhere? People have figured that out, how to do that. God's already done it. Do you know that? God operates that way in everything. And it's wild. He says, here are the requirements. John 1, 12. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. The first requirement, it is only available for sons and daughters. The complete app, that is. There is a prayer that is available to those who are not sons and daughters, and that is, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and I need a Savior. But the full app, the access to the throne room, the access to our Father's office, that app is only available to sons and daughters, those who have called upon the name of Jesus Christ and believe that he died for their sins. You see, it runs on specific hardware with the help of certain software. It is to reside, listen, on our minds, which is our, I mean, I kind of liken it this way. I'm trying to be relevant in, you know, today's terms, but we can think this through. It resides on certain hardware, our minds, and it's run by certain software which he has put in our hearts. And he said he's written all of this on our hearts. It runs off software he's put inside. And Scripture says, here's the other requirement. We are saved by grace through faith, and it is working through the hardware and the software glitches that really kind of bogs the app down. We can lack faith in the hardware, which bogs it down. Not too sure about the promises. Maybe we don't believe wholeheartedly that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. That's a hardware problem. Our faith needs to be strengthened. We need to pray for faith. Scripture says if whatever you ask for, he's going to give it to you liberally, more than you can comprehend. And if you need to believe in the promises of God, all you have to do is ask. Download the app. Use it until he gives you that faith. But there's also a software. And God's app runs best on software operating under his grace. A heart that is his, wholly given over to him. And it's best accessed by a mind that is ruled by faith, hardware that believes in him, believes in his promises, believes he hears, believes he answers, believes he cares about his children. Grace and faith. It's how the app runs. That's the only glitch in the program, is the grace and the faith, because it resides in our hearts and our minds. But on his side, everything's perfect. The greatest app ever granted, really, to mankind is access to him through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, the Scripture talks about the glory of God's grace. You ever considered the glory of God's grace? Grace is actually the apex of his glory. And it was shared and shown at the cross at Calvary. That is the very pinnacle of what God had planned and purposed from the beginning of time, was that he would send his son to die for you and die for me, that we might not only be redeemed but reconciled to him and have access to, through this app, to him, the holy, a holy God, but a Father in heaven. Isn't that, just consider that for a minute. And the next time that you're Facebooking, tweeting, twixting, I don't know, we're coming up with all kinds of new weird stuff. Think about what's available to you through this app that God has given us called prayer, that Jesus said, when you pray, man, here's the opportunity to worship and praise him, to understand all that he has for you, his plan and purpose for your life, all that he has provided for you, the opportunity to reconcile, to get right, to balance the books with him, so to speak, do some self-inventory, clean things up, so that he will, you know, he says he'll cleanse you. He's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then to understand that, Lord, no matter what I have to face today, no matter what's coming my way, I know that you have provided a way and provided power through prayer to not only get me through, but to get me out of temptation's way. He said it's a promise. It's the final P, it's his promise. But we go and we seek and we ask and we knock, and he'll provide the way. It's simple. Do we spend enough time? Do we spend enough time with that? You know, if our heart's thumbs were moving as fast as our real thumbs are sometimes on the devices that we have, if we understand that there's an app that doesn't reside on any, you know, crazy notebook or anything like that that we have, but it resides on our heart and our mind and was made infinitely open to all of his children, would, if we truly believed it, how much time would we spend? How much time would we spend on that app in a day? Heavenly Father, you are good is not even close. Great, maybe just a word that we can come up with, but does not fully show our appreciation for all that you are. And Lord, and as we lift up our hearts and we consider that the angels in heaven stand before you, bowing, singing hallelujah, maybe it's the word hallelujah that is the only word that we, known to man, that truly, truly, Lord, can put it in perspective, then our hearts sing out hallelujah for what you have given us and provided for us. This example that Jesus has given us of prayer, why it was so important to him and why he spent so much of his time on earth in communion with you. Lord, I pray that it's an example that rests on our hearts and our minds, and it becomes infinitely clear the privilege that you have given us to come into your presence through this app called prayer. Lord, if we need an app to run our lives today, then let it be prayer. If that's what the world is tuned into, Lord, let your church be tuned in to this access that you've given us. Infinite, Lord, never crashing, never ending, always open. Amazing what we put ourselves through and what we're willing to suffer through with what the world has to offer. But we don't, Lord, come to you constantly and consistently in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would just stir our hearts. And we know that, Lord, the strength of the church rests on it. And it's why your church is suffering today, Lord, because prayer is not important to your people. I pray that you would stir it in us, that it is the most important thing in our life, that we would just storm your servers, Lord, as if to crash it. I pray that we would be men and women of prayer, knowing it's always open, you're always available, and Lord, you desire for us to come in. That's why you had your son tell us, give us this model to get us a proper perspective on prayer. It's more than reciting words. It's coming to our Father with our requests, with our desires, with our needs, everything. Lord, is provided by you, the giver of good gifts. Lord, help us to acknowledge that in our lives. And as we go out, I pray that you would be glorified and praised by the very fruit of our lips as we lift up, Lord, this time of worship to you. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen.